Good evening, everyone. I'm Lenore Moudou. Welcome to Health Chat. The Young African Leaders Initiative just concluded here in Washington, D.C., the Washington Mandela Fellowship, it's also called. The initiative, also known as YALI, is a signature effort to invest in the next generation of African leaders. Nearly one in three Africans are between the ages of 10 and 24, and about 60% of Africa's total population is below the age of 35. Launched in 2010 to support young African leaders as they spur growth and prosperity, strengthen democratic governance, and enhance peace and security across Africa. We sat down with two of the 2019 fellows, and there are young men and women who are striving to improve the healthcare system in their countries. The first interview that I had is with Lamine Djafoumé. He is a nurse anesthetist in Gambia and aims to improve the healthcare system in his country. Take a listen.
Some of the most pressing needs of healthcare system in the Gambia is, I categorize them into three.
Okay.
Because what I did is, after working 6 years in two different hospitals, I was interested in finding out what are the root causes of these problems. So I took 3 years to study the problems by interacting with communities that are affected most. So I was able to identify so many problems, and I categorized them into three. That is problems related to access, problem related to cost of healthcare, and problems related to quality of healthcare. These three are the most pressing things in the Gambia and Africa at large.
Yes, I mean it's not just the Gambia problem, as you mentioned. Africa definitely access, cost, and quality. So when we start with access, when you look at a lot of times we talk about, you know, people in the rural area who don't have access, they have to walk many, many hours to have to reach a health center, a health facility. So what do you see in terms of access? Where do you put the focus, or where do you start?
Okay. The start is the, our problem is in access. It's not only in the rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, where I did my pilot study, it's only like less than 10 kilometers to the urban area. It's a peri-urban community. But let me tell you, within that 10 kilometers radius, they need two commercial vehicles to get to the nearest health facility, which is less than 10 kilometers. And to get a commercial vehicle from their village to the next village, they can stand on the highway for 2-3 hours to get a vehicle.
Wow.
And during the rainy season, the vehicles bypass them and go to the next village. So if you are sick in the rainy season, you have to walk 2 kilometers to the next village and stand on the highway for three hours or 2 hours.
If you're sick.
Or even more than that, before you can get a vehicle to the next village and you take another vehicle to the hospital.
Wow.
So that is a peri-urban community.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only the rural communities.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that are causing this accessibility is the uneven distribution of healthcare facilities. One, because healthcare facilities are there, but the way they are distributed, they are concentrated at several one area.
Yes.
Like you see an area with two or three hospitals, while the bigger area you don't see any hospital there. So that is one thing. And accessibility also is worsened because of the roads, the nature of the roads, and the distance that some people should travel to the hospitals.
Yes.
So these are the things that are making accessibility of healthcare very, very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are focusing on is we saw this problem, and we think instead of waiting for people to come for healthcare, let us go the other way around.
Yes.
Let us take the healthcare to people in their communities,
mm-hmm.
in their homes. So from July 2017 up to December 2018, we piloted the mobile healthcare services.
Okay.
So we have two models for that. The one model is for the urban area, and the second model is for the rural area and peri-urban areas.
Okay.
But I will start with the peri-urban areas and the rural area, because that is my passion.
Okay.
That's why I touch the underprivileged. So
mm-hmm.
the plan is to have we have 46 districts in the country. So in each of those 46 districts, we want to have a base.
Okay.
And in that base, we'll have mobile teams. And every day, the district will be divided into five cohorts. So every day from Monday to Friday, the mobile team will visit a cohort and do community sensitizations, do consultations, and free malnutrition assessment for under fives. And you know, those who need surgery, or those who need to see doctors, or those who need specialized care, will be gathered in the groups in groups of 25, and we'll invite a consultant or a doctor from this city to come to our base and see these 25 people.
That's interesting, very, very interesting.
So that is the strategy for the rural areas, and we want to do it for all the 46 districts. When we have this, then accessibility will be a thing of the past in the Gambia.
Okay. That's great. I mean, it's a great idea.
Yeah,
and for the rural area.
Yeah, for the urban areas, the model.
I mean, the urban.
Yeah, the model is because there is smartphone penetration is very high, internet is available,
mm-hmm.
and anything that you do in this modern world without technology, just forget it.
Yes.
So we want to leverage on technology to make healthcare accessible to people in their hands. Because the phone and the internet is very powerful.
Yes.
So what we do is we already have our website. It's up and running, but we need to edit some of the information there and other components like the interactive social platform is not yet there.
Okay.
So that is one, and we're working on developing an app that can be downloaded by clients, and once you subscribe into our app or our website, you'll be able to have access to doctors and nurses 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
You can also make a request for a doctor's visit or a nurse's visit. You can request for your normal routine monthly medication. Instead of coming to the hospital for your diabetes medication, you can just make a request and it will be delivered to you at your home. You can, if you need to see a specialist, you can have an appointment with him. So you know the time and the place that you need to see that specialist, than just to go to the hospital to be told that the doctor is not available today. So we'll be using technology, and we have an agreement with one software company called J Invest. It's been operating in Kenya since 2014, and six hospitals are using that software. It's an integrated healthcare management software, so that will help us to manage our healthcare data. So and it can also integrate all the departments like the accounts, the procurement, and the patient management care.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's fantastic. So now we touched on access. Mm. The next component,
the cost,
is the cost. That's a big problem, and I don't know how you're going to resolve that. I mean, your plan with access is so clear; it makes sense.
Mm.
Cost is a problem everywhere, even in the United States. So, talk to me.
Okay, in terms of cost of healthcare, we all know that in the Gambia, in the situation of the Gambia is there is free healthcare.
Okay.
They call it free healthcare, but the government doesn't have the capacity to implement that fully.
Okay.
You call it free healthcare now, but you don't have medication. You need to go and buy it from the private sector, so it will be very expensive still. Now the private sector is too expensive for the normal average Gambians, because the Gambian salary is at a range that is very poor, so most of the civil servants cannot afford the private sector. So we want to come in as a bridge between the government sector that is almost free, but the quality is very poor, and the private sector where the quality is better, but the cost is very high. Now, this is the trick. I've been in the Mandela Washington Fellowship for the past 6 weeks. I have made connections with organizations and people that I think if I leverage on their experience and what they are doing with what I am doing at home, we'll be able to tackle this cost of healthcare. Like one, let me give you an example of this MedShare International. MedShare International is an international organization in America that gathers medical supplies, all types of medical supplies and machinery, and ship it to countries that are in need of these things. But they need to work with NGOs. They need to work with governments and politicians. So now with that leverage, I have two meetings with the vice president of MedShare, and she is willing to partner with us.
Okay.
So now And once we have medical supplies and machinery supplied to us in Gambia, like a 40-footer container that contains supplies and machinery, we ship it to the Gambia and distribute it to the 7 hospitals to strengthen them in terms of equipment and consumables. They don't have to pay anything in that. Now we'll tell them, any peak clients that we refer to you people will have 50 to 75% discount. Because we give you the link that is supplying you these things.
Yes.
So now you have to cut the cost for our clients that are coming in.
Ah.
So that is one. And she's also ready to link us with MAP International. MAP International is just like Meshare, but they only deal with medications.
Okay.
If you have supplies and machinery, you don't have medications, it will still be expensive.
Yes.
Now, if we have an agreement with MAP International, they also will be supplying this medication at a very subsidized cost. And we will distribute those ones in the health facilities again to strengthen them. Now, to have a deal, the same deal will also come in.
When you talked about addressing cost, did you have a model before you met these companies?
Okay, I have a model. My model was to encourage, because health insurance is not very famous in the Gambia. Civil servant, there's no government health insurance policy. It's only big companies that have insurance.
Okay.
That have insurance for their staff. But even healthcare workers, they don't have any insurance cover. So our plan was to encourage people to deposit. Like, they know their capacity. You know, if you are having $1,000 every month as your salary, now you know your family expenditure. Take $100 or $50 every month and place it for healthcare. Not with yourself, but with us.
Mm-hmm.
We open an account. We open an account, and we know that we have this amount of money from you. So whenever you are sick or your family is sick, you don't worry. You don't need to worry about the cost.
Yes.
Because we'll come do whatever is needed to be done. Then minus it from that cost, and you can have up to 3 times. More than your savings with us.
Okay.
Then you pay it gradually.
Mm-hmm.
So with that also, it will reduce the burden of out-of-pocket expenditure.
Yes.
Because sometimes you have money that you don't need.
Mm-hmm.
And once you become broke, you become sick, but you don't have any money. And you know that you should pick it from your pocket to pay for those costs.
Yes.
So sometimes because of that, you don't go to the hospital because you don't have any money. So, but if you know that I have an account somewhere where I can have more than up to three times my savings, then always, whenever you're sick, you know that you're covered. And we want to also partner with health insurance companies, because the software that I tell you that we'll be using, it has an insurance component. While we have 34 insurance companies, but only 3 are doing health insurance because of the trick private clinics do with insurance.
Yes.
Because if you come with insurance, they charge you 2x or 3x more. But with our system, it's very strict. Now, the insurance companies will tell us what are the things that are covered.
Mm-hmm.
We include it into our software. Mm-hmm. So no human being can change those things. So once those things are there, when the patient comes, you can only use only those things. So you cannot add anything unnecessary.
Okay.
So it is 100% automated without any human interference. So that will give confidence to the insurance companies to work with us, because they know that there's no human interference.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes. That was our Yali fellow, Lamine, talking to us. And we have our second Yali fellow after the break. It's time for a short break, but the news now with Priscille Diwa.
A new U.S. study is suggesting a simple blood test can help pinpoint the early signs of Alzheimer's up to 20 years before any symptoms appear, which could help the progress of drug trials. Alzheimer's is the most common cause of dementia, affecting millions around the world. Currently, there are no treatments to halt the disease, and the only way to test for it is through the costly, time-consuming PET brain scans. One of the study's authors says the new blood test could now help screen many more people than the more expensive PET brain scans. Meanwhile, the Alzheimer's Society says it is most important to note that this is not a blood test for dementia. The test only tells that amyloid deposits, which are in the brain, are a hallmark of Alzheimer's disease, but are also found in healthy, older people too. A new mobile phone is speeding up the detection of a potentially fatal kidney condition for hospital patients. Health clinicians are deeming the new alerting system, known as Streams, as a potential lifesaver, saying the app will be able to provide diagnosis in average of 14 minutes, a process that usually takes hours. Acute kidney injury is caused by serious health conditions, including sepsis, and affects 1 in 5 people admitted to hospital. The condition is more common in older patients and, if not treated quickly, can affect other organs. Cancer patients took to the streets of the capital, Nairobi, recently, calling on Kenya's government to declare the disease a natural disaster and provide extra funds. The demonstrators donned in matching t-shirts that read, "Act on Cancer Today," say long delays caused by a lack of accessible and affordable treatment mean many patients' conditions worsens. According to the Journal of Global Oncology, Kenya has 35 oncologists for 40 million people, which means there are more than 3,000 cancer cases for each oncologist in Kenya, compared to less than 150 in the US and China. The Kenyan government estimates that around 30,000 people die from cancer every year. Like many developing countries, the increasing number of cancer patients is putting additional strain on their health services. And that's a wrap-up of the latest health news.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we have our conversations with some Yali Mandela Washington Fellows. Our second discussion is with Blondine Umuziranenge. She is founder and CEO of Cosmotive, a social enterprise that focuses on improving maternal and child health in Rwanda. Take a listen. Blondine, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Improving maternal and child health, that's a big task to take on. Talk to us specifically about what you do.
Normally what I do, there is one side where I increase access to maternal and child health information. With this, it's through publication of an online and print magazine called Cosmos Magazine. And also beside that, because with the magazine, it's a kind of fast food. You prepare something, you give some people. And we wanted just to prepare a kind of a buffet. So this is the app. It's called Cosmo Health. So with the app, someone can register. So with the app, they're able to interact with experts. They're able to get what they want, not what we plan or prepare for them. So this app has a component for pregnant women. So pregnant women register their week of pregnancy, and they receive messages with advice 3 times a week about how, just for safe pregnancy, for safe birth, and for us to take over after they give birth. We want to integrate this with a mobile healthcare services. This is the side of just increasing access to information. We have another side of increasing access to products. With the products we make, we have this clothing line, maternity clothing, and also nursing clothing. With this nursing clothing, it's just for those mom who are breastfeeding. They want to look good, they want to be in style, but they also have to honor that rights of a baby who has to be breastfeeded. That's why we make clothing that we help them just look as anyone can see them as they are still chic or classic the way they want to look. But also there's one thing that is common to every woman. It's the menstrual hygiene management thing. So we also have these reusable sanitary pads. For us, it's to help those girls who used to miss school or work because they can't afford to buy sanitary pads. So we have Cosmo pads. They are reusable sanitary pads that last for more than 2 years.
Interesting. I mean, you wear so many hats. You do a lot of things under your company. How did it all start?
It's due to, like, when I was growing up, I was in refugee camp. Most of the time, I could, like, because I wasn't at the age of going to school, most of my friends were pregnant women, because there are those who can't go to work. They are staying home. Those people who have, like, don't have much energy to go anywhere were my friends, because we were the one to stay home. So most of the time, I could just be talking to them. I'm expecting them to bring the baby. Sometimes they come without a baby. Sometimes the baby comes, they are not there. And the worst side, they both die. That's how I grew up, feeling like I will be saving lives. I also felt like I can use the power of information to change lives, just like that. Mm-hmm. So I went for IT.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's talk about the app. You said it's an app that helps pregnant women. How exactly is the app helping them?
Yeah, the pregnant women, they register according to their week of pregnancy, and they keep getting a message according to the week, 3 messages a week. And when you don't remember the week of your pregnancy, by default, you get week 5, because okay, that's where someone normally can know that they are pregnant or not. So every week you get different messages, and mm-hmm, it keeps updating the message you get. So it's about just equipping them. Though you go to the hospital, they tell you what to do just to be healthy, to be safe, what to eat for the baby to feel this way, what to do for the psychological health of a baby. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they forget. So the next part of it was to connect them to mobile health clinic. We don't have a mobile health clinic in Rwanda, so I wanted to work on this. I kept just thinking about the idea, doing research about it. I was like, I had to just to see it learning.
That's great. And how much support do you receive? Because something like that is helping communities. Mm-hmm. Do you get support from maybe the Ministry of Health or some government-related institutions?
So far, like, for me to start, because the thing about health is sensitive, I had to go to present the project in the Ministry of Health so that they can
validate it?
Yeah, validate the message thing. Okay. I don't have the validation yet.
Okay.
They are aware of, like, it's a pilot.
So do you have an idea of how many women are using the app?
So far, because for, like, the women who use the app, we know them, they are 30.
Okay.
There are women that we know, because it's like we don't want anything to happen, because
it's a pilot phase.
Yeah,
so
it's a pilot. We want even just to, like, to keep the eye on everything
monitor that
is happening. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
About the sanitary pads, are they made in Rwanda, and what material do you use?
Yeah, we make them in our workshop. Same workshop that make clothes is the same workshop that make those
sanitary pads. You say they are reusable?
Usable, yes. Usable from 2 to 3 years.
Do you donate? How is it helping young girls?
Okay. So far, it's our new project, and the currently we had a fundraising to be able to donate 10,000 pads. We will be donating them. For us, like, the thing about selling them will be maybe buying one package. You can think, like, one package will be costing the amount of buying 2 packages of disposable pads. But this one package will last for 2 years. Mm-hmm. These 2 years, you could have bought 24 packages of disposable sanitary pads.
That's great. That's fantastic. So how do you see your business, your work, changing your community and your country?
So far, I'm still, you know, sometimes you feel like I'm still low, you know. I'm not this high, but, like, what I see and what I aspire is just like, better health service, and also kind of security. Like, when a girl has this, they are safe, they feel safe, they are not afraid to go to school. But sometimes when you know that you won't get pads to be able to go to school, you're like, every month I have to miss school 4 days, sometimes more than that. You're afraid. Even it's not even, like, the effect is not 4 days. Because even 3 days before, you're afraid. 3 days after, you're afraid. Also, the shame around it.
Like, okay. And Blondine, talk to us finally about the program YALI. You're here participating. Mm-hmm. And how much have you learned, and how much are you taking back that will shift the way you do your work now?
I have learned a lot. Normally, Yali, I have been part of Yali Network, the online network. I have been part of Yali East Africa. I attended last year in the Nairobi cohort. I have been part of MWF, Mandela Washington Fellowship. I have learned a lot about just leadership. I have learned a lot about knowing myself, knowing my strength, knowing my character, to be able to know how to lead others, how to build a team. I have learned a lot about the difference between a group and a team. I have learned a lot in class, in business, but mostly I learned a lot from the, we had site visits.
Blondine, it was wonderful to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time and congratulations for being a Mandela Washington Fellow.
Thank you so much.
Great.
And that was Blondine Umuziranenge, with Mandela Washington Fellow. Now we go to Botswana. A test and treat HIV program is getting results in the country after the Southern African country recorded a decline in cases of the virus among participating communities. But Botswana's rate of the deadly virus remains among the highest in the world, according to a recent study by the Botswana Harvard AIDS Institute Partnership. Mkondi C. Dube reports from Gaborone.
21-year-old Tlotlo Mwilwa was born with HIV and orphaned at age 10 after losing both parents to the virus that causes AIDS. But thanks to Botswana's well-developed anti-retroviral therapy program, Mwilwa remains healthy.
There are programs that are out there that are given to people who are HIV positive. What I can say about our government is that it is so supportive. They're always there to support us.
One such program, Test and Treat, showed increased viral suppression and a 30% reduction in new HIV infections among 15 communities in a study group. Test and Treat was set up in 2016 with the help from the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, PEPFAR, to treat all HIV patients regardless of their viral load. Dan Kron Seleka of PEPFAR Botswana says a key aspect of the program's success is community health workers making sure that every HIV patient went for treatment.
The sooner that people are put on treatment, the sooner that the virus is suppressed within their body, and they may not be able to pass on the virus to others.
The New England Journal of Medicine in July published a study led by researchers from Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health and the Botswana Harvard AIDS Institute Partnership. Richard Matlare of Botswana's National AIDS Coordinating Agency says the country has the world's third highest HIV prevalence, with 1 in 4 adults between 15 and 49 HIV positive.
We haven't won the war as yet. If you look at the cohort of our adolescent girls and young women, 40 new infections per week to us are far too high.
For HIV patients like Mwilwa, who was born before prevention of mother-to-child transmission efforts, Botswana's progress in the fight against AIDS gives hope for a future with healthy children.
I'm not in a relationship. Absolutely. God is so going to bless me with a family.
Botswana aims to have 95% of those infected with HIV know their status, be on treatment, and achieve viral suppression by next year. Mkondisi Dube for VOA News, Gaborone.
And that's all the time we have for this edition of Health Chat. We thank our guests, Gambia's Lamine Jafume and Rwanda's Blondine Umuziranenge, both of them Mandela Washington Fellows. I'm your host, Linor Mudo in Washington, with producer Jackson Vongani, Priscille Diwa with the news, and engineer Misha. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
This is VOA News. I'm Joe.